is keep it moving. Okay, not Kids Fun Day, but keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. That's part one. And should I wait? Yes. Oh, well, yeah, say to your neighbor, keep it moving. Say to the media team, keep it moving. Anyway, personally, individually, as a Christian, we encounter the love of God. Okay? We encounter the love of God. And the beauty about God's love is that there's no limit to God's love. And so God's love, our encounter with him, and then it just flows out of us. And so God's love moves in us and in our home, in our church, our spiritual family. And this movement in God's love, you know, it brings oneness, right? Oneness. And this movement in God's love also brings healing, and I also believe it brings spiritual maturity. And the oneness, because of God's love in the church, teaches us how to partner with one another. Love is very important to partner. Did you know that? It's not just gifting, but it's that love teaches us how to partner with one another. And then God uses, as we partner with one another, God uses us to love our community and beyond. Okay, I love our community and beyond. So biblically, very important biblical concept, we move in love for God and the people that's near us. That's the great commandment, right? And we move in love for the world. That's the great commission. So we're obeying the greatest commandment and the great commission, right? And to move in God's love to fulfill the great commandment and great commission. Today I have 2 points. This is part one. And the third point I'm going to talk about next week, to keep moving, keep it moving. And the first point is move in faith. Say that to your neighbor, move in faith. And Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, without faith, it is impossible. Wow. It is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God ordained different churches and different ministries. And when you look at different churches and different ministry, they have different focus. And it is okay. When I was in college, I attended InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It was a university of Wisconsin. And that particular InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, their focus was on fellowship. So you go into the meeting, they all hug you, and fellowship was very important to them. And then, I attended Campus Crusade for Christ at University of Wisconsin. And what they do, you go in, they give you 4 spiritual law, and they kick you out, go evangelize. Go evangelize to the campus. Their focus was evangelism, right? And then I went to the Navigators, and their focus was discipleship, right? Discipleship. And in University of Wisconsin, there was a fellowship that, called Asian Christian Fellowship. And when you go there, you know what their emphasis was? Their focus was prayer. You go there, and they just prayed a lot. They prayed a lot. Some church put an emphasis on teaching. I applaud that, okay? Another church that you go to, they put an emphasis on worship. You go to a charismatic church, they talk about this supernatural ministry, right? And you go to some church, it's about mission. And you go to another church, it's about ministering to the poor, or justice, right? And so all Christian church, though, And ministries, if it's Christian, we all follow, have the same core absolute, you know, which is the gospel message, okay? The work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We all agree with that. We agree with authority of Scripture, okay? Trinity, you know, one God eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are absolute stuff, right? But churches and ministry have different vision, and it's okay. They have different focus. They have different target group. And, you know, I bless it. I'm happy about it. I'm thankful for those things. But you and I can be involved in different kinds of ministry, you know, like inner healing. You could be focused on maybe intercession, small group ministry, men's ministry or women's ministry, singles ministry, youth, children, hospitality, outreach. There are many different ministries you could be involved with, okay? But this is very important to remember as a Christian. Doesn't matter what you're doing, what your passion, what your gifting, every Christian must move in faith, okay? Every Christian must move in faith. You need to grow in faith. You need to mature in faith. Why? Because the Bible says, without faith, okay, it is impossible to please God. Okay? It's impossible to please God. So the Bible calls us to move in faith, to grow and mature in faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Okay? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Okay? Now, the Bible describes a mustard seed as this, you know, if you look at other passages, as a small seed that grows into a large tree. Right? Now, when a mustard seed faith is not talking about small faith or weak faith. Okay? A mustard seed illustrates a faith that keeps moving, that keeps growing, that keeps maturing. Okay? That faith that keeps, like you've been a Christian for 10 years and your faith has become weaker, that's not good. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, your faith should be continuously growing and maturing, okay? A mustard seed seems very small and doesn't seem to have much promise, but faith is believing, okay, this is what biblical faith is. Faith is believing what God has created and what God says and what God promised. Huh? What? Say 1 week you feel very small. You feel insignificant. You just had a very hard week. Maybe another 1 week, you know, maybe yesterday you were very discouraged. There was disappointment. If you have, you know, kids, little kids, you're all tired. You know, tired. And things are being stirred up. Your past brokenness. You know, there's family dysfunction. And there's continual spiritual attack that you're going through. Faith is shown by who you are going to listen to in time of difficulties. Okay? In difficult time. In time when you are tested. Okay? When you're tested, are you going to listen to the circumstances? Are you going to listen to the world? Are you going to listen to your flesh? Are you going to listen to lies? Are you going to listen to the devil? Or, as a believer, as a Christian, are you going to listen to God? Right? And this is where faith comes in. When the inner voice, there's an inner voice, there's, you know, doubt is very loud. Those who have faith, right? There's all these different voices that you're being hit with chooses the word of God to believe in. Okay? Chooses the character of God. chooses the promise of God. There are many different voices that we're being hit with every day. Voice of doubt, voice of fear, voice of resentment, voice of insecurity. You hear voices that says you can't do it. Okay? You will fail. Nobody cares. Stop trying. It's not worth it. Just give up. Okay? You hear this voice. Just give up. Those who wants to please God don't listen to the voice of doubt and lies. They listen to God's truth. Okay? They listen to God's truth. God is with me. God will direct me during this time. God will help me. Greater is he who is in me than the one that's in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? Okay? You know, like everyone, you know, we're all in the same boat. I face disappointment in life. Right? I face disappointment with different people, with ministries, with leadership, with mission, with discipleship, trying to, you know, disciple, there's disappointment. And if I was honest with you, I have to face much disappointment in myself, okay, in myself. And in this struggle, right, in this struggle, and it is a struggle, I choose to put my faith in God's word. Right? You know, I'm going to throw this out. I believe this to be true, okay? I hope the board, church board, agrees with me. But, you know, I want you to ask the church board when we get together every month, right? Right? During church board meeting, ask them about what gets me excited. Right? Ask them. Right? You know, I face disappointment with some people, right? But ask them. I get very excited about giving other people opportunity and raising them up. I face disappointment in ministry, but ask them, I still get excited about starting more ministries, starting more churches. I get very excited about it, you know, when we get together as board. I saw in my Christian life the worst in missions. Okay, all the different places, different countries that I went to, meeting with hundreds of missionaries, I saw the worst example in mission. But ask the board. Mission is something that I pray about, I think about, I talk about all the time. All the time. Right? Sean, isn't that you? Okay, thank you. Why? Why? Am I better than you? No. Am I more talented than you? No. Am I smarter? No. I have faith. I do have this faith. I have faith in the great commandment. I have faith in the great commission. And I have faith in what God called me to do. From college, he put a vision in my heart for mission when I was a college student. And I have faith. I know I'm getting old, right? God's going to use me in a not worldly fame kind of way, but God's going to use me for missions. I have that faith. Right? So move in faith. Say that to your neighbor. Point number two, okay, move in relationship. Move in relationship. Say that to your neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. You're the church, okay? And each one of you is part of it. Right? Each one of you are important to the church. Each one of you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, moving in relationship, okay, I want you to have a deeper vision of relationship. Right? It's not just going to meetings. It's not just going to activities. It's not just, I know, you know, we do this a lot, eating together. Okay, moving in, those are good. Eating, it's not just eating together. Okay, moving in relationship, biblical relation goes deeper, and I kind of want to describe it for you so you kind of understand that it needs to go deeper. What does it mean? It means you and I are willing to overcome insecurities and fear that relationship brings. Hello? What? You are, okay, if you say, for a relationship, then you're scared. There's fear of rejection. You got hurt in the past, but you're willing to overcome insecurities and fear that relationship brings. Right? What does it mean? It means you will take your mask off and be willing to be real in front of your church member. Be authentic. That's not easy, but that's what you're saying yes to. It means you will be approachable. Okay? It means you're willing to listen, not just preach to others. You try to understand what someone else is going through. Instead of just, it's all about me. No, you're willing to go outside of yourself. It means, okay, this is what it means. Commitment. You're saying, I'm committed to you. That you know what also it means? I will not give up so easily when there's conflict. Hello? Oh, I thought it was just eating together. No. You will not give up on relationships so easily because there's conflict. Moving in relationship means when our personal issues come to the surface and it's being stirred up, instead of retreating, isolating yourself, hiding, becoming more self-focused, you fight to focus outward. Okay? Moving in relationship means, this is what it means, I'm going to define it, I should have put it up there. You love when it's hard to love. So this is my challenge to Catalyst. Move in relationship in the midst of disappointment, hurt, and rejection. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this passage says we need to spur one another on. We need to love each other. We need to serve each other in love. You know, it says don't stop meeting together. Encourage one another. So in other words, saying move in relationship, continue to, you know, commit to relationship, grow in relationship, right? But it also talks about in what circumstances. It says all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? As you see the day approaching. I believe it might be talking about the end times. The day approaching, difficult time, or at least it's talking, there's going to be persecution that's going to come. That's what, you know, Paul might be talking about. As you see the day approaching, a time of chaos, when people are turning away from God, where there's Christian persecution, there's confusion, there's division, there's great immorality, there's great spiritual attack. This passage is saying, in difficult time, when it's hard to love, when it's very difficult to trust, when it's so much easier to run away, so much easier to be negative, when it's easier to give up, let's love more. That's what it's saying. Don't give up. Meeting together. Let's love more. Okay? I need to mention this because I know some of you. It's not talking about work harder, okay? Hello? It's not talking about work harder. You know, when it gets difficult, you know, or you get challenged, instead of loving more, we work more. That's, some of you are like that. We get busier. Okay? We organize and plan more activities. Yeah. Think about a workaholic. They're very busy. Why? I think they're running away from something. Right? I think they're running away from something. When you love more, okay, it's not you work hard. You do not want. You're not running away. When you love more, you're being courageous. When moving in relationship, you're not running away, but you're choosing to believe relationship is worthwhile. It's important. It's God's will. But what God uses relationship for is you're choosing healing. If you're running away from relationship, you're choosing brokenness. Hello? Does that make sense to you? You're choosing healing. You're choosing freedom. You're choosing redemption. See, when you are committed to moving in relationship, I gotta speak the truth to you because it's been true in my life and it's true in your life. There will be wounding. Right? There will be misunderstanding. There will be hurt. There will be rejection in relationship. And I don't think you could avoid it. Hello? Okay. I don't think you could avoid it. Jesus understood this. The Bible says, because God loved the people of the world, he sent his only son. Jesus came to save. And I've been meditating this last couple months on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. And, you know, Jesus is sinless. But, man, I keep reading, oh, he got rejected there. He got misunderstood there. You know how many times, I should write it down, how many times Jesus spoke the truth and people pick up rock, just stone him. You know how many times? They just pick up rock and he had to slip away. He has to slip away. How many times they were planning to kill him? If you choose to love more loving more is something very powerful, is something very beautiful and worthwhile. But in a broken world, if you choose to love more, you will be disappointed. Okay? There will be disappointment. And God's love is not about trying to find the perfect relationship, the perfect church, okay? And you know, in marriage, singles, you're trying to find that perfect spouse. Okay? If that's your goal, when you get married, it will get very hard. It will get very hard. What is marriage? All right? You guys are sinners getting together, marrying each other. All right? Yeah, it's two sinners coming together and marrying one another. All right? And all your issues is going to come out. You will hurt each other. When that happens, what are you going to do? Well, God's love is you forgive. You communicate. You don't give up on each other. You grow. You try to compliment each other. Right? You believe in one another. You keep growing. Right? In the midst of disappointment. So God's love is not trying to find that perfect relationship, that perfect church. It is building relationship in the midst of disappointment, hurt, and rejection. And God's love, this is what we got to believe. Because of God's love, we can overcome disappointment. God's love heals. redeems broken relationship. As a pastor of Catalyst Church, I'd be lying if I said there has been all in 13 years no disappointment from relationship in the church. I'd be lying if I said that. Huh? There had been, for me, sleepless nights, tears, burdens. You know, pastoring Catalyst has been a great joy and a privilege in my life, but there has been hurts. There has been painful times, very painful times. But in 13 years, this is the truth, through it all, I love Catalyst. I love you guys more today than 13 years ago. Okay? I pray for you more today than 13 years ago. And I'm speaking the truth. I'm willing to sacrifice for you more today than 13 years ago. I'm not looking for a perfect church. I'm not looking to shield myself from disappointment. Those here today, you know, when you, it's painful, I understand, yeah. But those who are most disillusioned about church, when I talk to them, they'll say, this is what they'll tell me. I don't need other Christians to grow spiritually. That's what they'll tell me. I don't need other Christians. Yeah. I worship at home by myself. Just God and me. Just God and me. I don't need others. I don't need church. I don't need others to grow as a disciple. I watch YouTube sermons. Huh? I have a subscription to this international ministry, and they teach me. They teach me. Huh? To me, right? Nobody like that here, okay? But in my, they will tell me those things. This is not a sign of spiritual growth or maturity. I just see this person has wounding and hurt that hasn't been healed. That's what I see. Again, in this church, you are facing disappointment in relationship. There's a pattern of dysfunction in relationship in your life. Last week, you know, maybe you go, last week someone hurt me. They said something that really hurt me. You know, maybe you're so busy, you have no time for relationship. Or you could say, this is the pattern in my life. I'm just getting wounded again and again and again in relationship. I want to challenge you. Don't give up on relationship. Right? Say to your neighbor, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to share this week. I'm going to go to California to pick up my mom. She's at the age where she really can't take care of herself. So I'm going to bring her to the East Coast. And it's in a very, very difficult because my mom's not making it easy. She's not making it easy. There's a lot of spiritual attack. All my childhood things that I thought I was healed is being triggered and being activated. And in my relationship with my mom, she's continuously wounding me right now. And I wish I could say I was so perfect in it. I haven't. You know, I lost it a few days ago. And just ask Kristen. You know, it was in the morning. I lost it, and I was screaming at my mom. I was screaming at my mom, and then woke up Kristen. And she came down, you know, in the afternoon. Dad, you woke me up. You were screaming. And my relationship with my mom, this is what the devil keeps telling me. Just give up. Okay? Just give up. And I don't, you know, again, of course I'm not going to go into the glory detail, but those who knew me from childhood, they tell me, my mom is very extreme. She is. She is so extreme. Right? It's so extreme. Right? So the devil keeps telling me, just give up. Just be bitter. Be angry. Right? Be hopeless. But you know what? God keeps coming to me. Tells me, don't give up. Huh? This is what God, don't give up. I will bless you. I will restore. I'm going to help you. God tells me, I will be with you. I choose to believe in God. I'm choosing to believe in God. When it comes to the church, the body of Jesus Christ, when it comes to Catalyst, I believe this is what Jesus says about this church. Right? Whom you're going to choose this day? Right? That's what Joshua asked the people of God as they're going into the promised land. Whom you're going to choose? I believe what Jesus says about you. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not overcome Catalyst. Right? This is a spiritual family. We're going to know each other eternally. And this is what Jesus says about you. Catalyst will disciple nations. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship.